Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out. I asked Jer if I could introduce the podcast this week because it's always Jer that gets to say, hey everyone, welcome back to Behind the Scenes podcast. So this week's my turn.
Boom, here we go.
So welcome back, you guys. This episode I think is going to be a fun one.
Super fun.
We are going to talk all about Valentine's Day, 36 questions, which if you guys know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, we'll explain. and then three sentence love stories, which is something that we started 4 years ago. And we encourage people to share their three sentence love stories every year on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day is extra special to us because we launched Beating 50% on Valentine's Day 4 years ago.
Wow,
right?
Yeah, four years ago.
So it's a super special day for us for that reason, but also other reasons. Jer and I love celebrating love, and so we think it's important to set aside some time to do that. Not necessarily, doesn't need to be Valentine's Day, but for us, Valentine's Day is just an easy way to do that.
Yeah, well, really, it's any excuse to celebrate it is awesome.
And totally.
Valentine's Day, there's definitely an energy in the air, you know, but as long as you're not using it as an excuse, that's the only day.
Yeah, right, exactly. So one of the things that we do for Valentine's Day and our anniversaries, and I think we may have shared this in a previous podcast, I'm not totally sure, but one of the things we do, we got this idea from some friends of ours, and it's we take turns every other year being the one to plan Valentine's Day or our anniversary. So for example, this past year, I planned our anniversary, so this is Jer's year to plan Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Right, babe?
Yeah.
So
my year.
So I don't have to worry about it.
But you'll plan the anniversary this year.
No, and then you'll plan the anniversary this year, so and I'll plan Valentine's Day because we switch off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, I thought
we were switching off holidays, not years. But yeah, you're right.
But then I'm always
right.
planning.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry, I got that mixed up.
So, anyways, we just thought this was such a great idea because the first couple years of our marriage, it was really hard to try. We wanted to both surprise each other, but we couldn't.
There's competing expectations.
And competing agendas.
And competing agendas.
If I do this for Jer, is he going to do this for me?
Yeah, but like if I know that this year you're planning our anniversary and all I have to do is participate in a
gift.
Expectation management conversation, and then obviously get you.
Oh, I was going to say gift.
Obviously get you the gift or my gift or whatever and write you a letter. It's like, that just makes it fun because then we can actually do surprises in a good way. And it makes it just easier. So,
I mean, we like the element of surprise too. So maybe if you're listening and you don't like that, maybe this is not a good idea for you. But we like the element of surprise. So it just made it easy for us to just be like, me to go, okay, Jer, this is your year for Valentine's Day. I'm just going to trust you with it and I'm going to get you a gift. And that's about it.
Another thing that's really helped us for Valentine's Day is knowing each other's love languages. And I'm sure everyone listening knows that that's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Gary Chapman.
Yeah, Gary Chapman. He did the love language test. If you haven't read that book or looked into that, I mean, it's...
You can take the test online for free.
It's a must do. I would put it up there with Enneagram as far as like usefulness in your love story and how you not just relate to your spouse, but love them well and learn them. And so that's something that's really helped us for Valentine's Day is... I think we even have an article on beating 50%. It's like 52 ways to bless you. Or no, it's
loving
your spouse the way they need to be loved on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And it basically gives 52 date ideas, depending on your love language, how to
That's a different article, but...
Oh, that's a different article? Okay. Yeah. Anyways, we got some resources there, so...
Yeah. So, and one of the things, like, in that one article, we wrote it a few years ago, so it's a little bit dated, but we tell this story of how Jer and I, before we knew each other's love languages, weren't loving each other the way we both received love the best. And so... With holidays and stuff like that, there can be a lot of built up pressure and expectation that's not communicated. And then that failed expectation just leaves you feeling kind of like wah, wah.
Yeah.
And we found that the love languages was a great way to just know, like, okay, gifts are important to me. I'm speaking specifically to, for me, one of my love languages is receiving gifts. So gifts are important to me. So if Jer, you know, doesn't get me a gift, that doesn't make me feel loved. And then, like, on the flip side, vice versa, like, Jer's physical touch and words of affirmation. So, like, I'm going to always write Jer, you know, some encouraging words or a love note or a love letter. I'm going to always have physical touch, intimacy. So those things have just been super helpful for us. Because I'm sure a lot of you guys, I know girls especially, or at least maybe I'm the only one, that think, you know, when Valentine's Day comes around, I really wish my spouse would do this for me on Valentine's Day, but then you never tell your spouse what the this is.
Yeah.
And so how are they supposed to know? Like, you can't just assume that your husband or wife, for that matter, will just be able to read your mind and know exactly how to fulfill all your ideals when you don't ever tell them.
Yeah.
So
I think that's so common.
We call it expectation management.
Because, yeah. But like, because you're in a relationship and, or you're married, you know, you just think that like, if they truly loved me, they'll know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's such a lie from the devil. Like it's just like, that is a seed that gets in. And next thing you know, that's the cause of all your greatest, not all your greatest fights, but you get what I'm saying. That's a cause of a lot of conflict just because of that, you know, assumption or whatever. And I guess that also floats into, you know, the idea of like, don't expect to receive love in the same way you give love. Mm. You know, and because like,
and love without expecting return in general. Like, that's but like real love too. You know,
totally.
Just,
and this is where it just, the Enneagram and the five love languages, like, it's, they're so helpful because, you know, I'm not going to expect to necessarily. Like, you have a unique way in loving me and B, just offering your love to me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to expect that to be the same way I would give. Mm-hmm. And likewise for you. Because not only do I receive love differently, but I also give it differently. Mm-hmm. And if I can align that according to how you receive love the best, like, that's a recipe for success. Win.
Totally.
Yeah, that's good.
But. Yeah, so that is a little bit just about kind of how we do Valentine's Day. And I will say, you know, as just like an explainer, because we do also have a lot of single listeners, people that aren't married or aren't in relationships. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You know, this is not meant to be, we're going to give you some fun ideas when we get to this 36 question thing. So don't tune out because I think it'll be interesting for you, especially our single listeners. But
yeah. But we acknowledge
that this day can make single people just feel lonely and isolated. And so I love seeing all the Galentine's Day posts and stuff like that. I think it's really fun that girls are getting together and making it about a day of friendship and stuff and not just wallowing in, you know.
Well,
wallowing is a bad word.
Self-pity and all this stuff.
But like,
it's true that people do that, babe. And
it can be hard though, when you're seeing that too, all because, this, like, you know, romance everywhere.
Yeah, it's like a lot of our cultures just put, you know, all of the weight and pressure on who you're dating and, you know, all that stuff. And it's, and, you know. So to see people getting together and saying...
As a guy, is that a thing though, babe? Before we were married, was that a thing for you? Were you Valentine's Day thinking, I don't have a Valentine?
I mean, yeah, there's...
I feel like it's more of a female thing, but...
I would say so, yeah. And there's definitely a sense of like, you know, there were seasons where like, oh man, I feel a little lonely, or like, oh, I'd like to be able to do this for a girl. But a lot of it was also like just knowing that that's coming and like, mm-hmm. I might as well... You know, go to Brown's camp and romp around four wheeling with the boys. Like,
take advantage of the friendship
time. Yeah.
Totally. So we came up with five free romantic Valentine's ideas.
Yeah.
For you guys, and so we're just gonna hit you with them in case you guys are looking for some ideas. Valentine's is two days away. 2 days away.
What?
From the time that this podcast will be airing.
Oh, I was like, no way. I thought I was planning it this year. I'm in trouble. That was legit. So
the first is the 15 second kiss. Okay. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, not with your Valentine, then don't tell your Valentine about this and just do it. Because yeah, it's super fun to do when the other person doesn't know what you're doing. And if you guys follow Beating 50%, our Instagram account, we're doing this thing called Marriage Monday Challenge. And this week's Marriage Monday Challenge, the time of this podcast, it will have been last week's, but last week's Marriage Monday Challenge was to do the 15-second kiss experiment. We got this idea from some of our friends, but basically it's just kissing your spouse 15 seconds. And there's something about it that's just like awesome and really unifying and cool.
And so, it's intimate. And it's one of those things that doesn't happen by accident very often. And so when you intentionally do that, it's, there's so much like science and chemistry and biology behind it. And again, when we talk about 36 questions here in a couple minutes, some of that will come out, but yeah, it's just it's so easy and so free. And even just telling your spouse like, hey, let's do this. And the conversation alone is, you know, would probably be a unifying.
And it's free.
And it's free. Yeah.
So that's your first idea for you guys. You can do that. Totally free. Next idea, you want to do the next one?
Yeah, next idea, write a love letter to each other. So, I mean, so many people have never written or received a love letter.
Yeah, we were on a podcast recently that they said they polled people.
No. A professor was in a class and he says every single semester he asked the class, have you ever written or received a letter or a love letter? And he says it's not uncommon that nobody will raise their hand. Most of the time, five or less. And this is a college hall.
That's crazy.
That's insane. So
sad.
We're challenging you guys, write a love letter to your spouse this Valentine's Day.
And it's not that hard.
It's not that
hard. Don't put pressure on it.
Don't put pressure on it.
Just sit down with a pen and do it.
Just sit down with a pen. Handwrite it. That's really the key. Like posting to Instagram's cute and like saying something on Facebook. Okay, bless your heart. But like to sit down with ink and pen and remember how to write with your hand. that's super special. And I think it'll go a long way. So we challenge you guys to do that. And I just thought of this. If they do it, you should use the hashtag a love letter life so that we can share it or and beating 50%. That way we can see it and, you know, it could be cool. So
The third thing is reread your wedding vows. So obviously this one goes for the married couples out there, but you know, so easy to just go back, reread your wedding vows while you're sitting down for dinner, whatever, just to remember the promise that you are choosing to live out every day.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And you're different people. So you might chuckle at some of it, you know, and that's supposed to just be a fun thing to do.
It's so true.
Ultimately, just remembering the covenant you're in, the promise you made. And, you know, it's not necessarily.
And there's something romantic and nostalgic about it. You're, in a sense, sort of reliving your wedding day, which is
totally
fun.
Like if you go out, like husbands listening to this, I guarantee you, if you take your wife out to dinner and you just
bring
your vows and you just suggest over dinner, like, hey, you're my, I don't know who you're married to, but I guarantee you more often than not, the general wife would probably love this.
Yes.
And it'd be super, babe, would you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It would be super thoughtful and just kind of next level the rest of the night.
Okay. Then the fourth thing is
make love somewhere new. Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
No, seriously. Just the conversation around this, the idea, like talk about, hey, babe, or whatever, like on Valentine's Day, you want to like, you know, make love somewhere new. And they're going to laugh, but, you know, they're really going to want to say yes. And so like, you'll talk about it and like, well, we haven't made love in the laundry room yet, or we haven't made love like in the backyard or whatever it is. We're not going to go too into that.
In the car. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, seriously. In the car, like make love somewhere new, have that conversation and actually plan it out. That's another thing. Like planning out making love is like totally okay to do. So many people think it needs to be this like movie magic, spontaneous, passionate, like, you know, next level, intense, just random occurrence all the time. But like,
and I almost think if you do that, if you plan it out more,
there's suspense there.
But when you plan it out more, the spontaneous things happen more.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because you have.
Yep. There's a lot of science behind that. Yeah. I'm thinking of a book I read last year, but not about this, but it's about how the more you do something, the more it happens. So,
so good. I love that.
So good. Yeah. Anyways.
And then number five, free romantic Valentine's idea. The fifth free romantic Valentine's idea.
Next on the list.
This is the last one.
Fifth
and final is the 36 questions. So if you guys haven't heard of this, this has been something that Jared and I have been talking about with some friends for the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of been the rage. You guys have probably seen about it on social media or online in the interwebs somewhere. But there was this New York Times article that came out called "To Fall in Love with Anyone, Do This." It was based on a study by psychologist Arthur Aaron. And basically the study was he put two people in a room.
They called it a lab.
Kind of sounds weird. But they basically put two people in a lab. And the test, it was basically a test to see
can you make two strangers fall in love?
Yes. Yes, basically. Can you choose love, essentially, like through...
Yeah. At its core, yeah, that's what it was.
And so, anyways, it was super, super interesting article. We'll link it in the show notes for you guys. But the idea is that mutual vulnerability fosters closeness. And one of the quotes from the article says, "One key pattern associated with the development of a close relationship among peers is sustained, escalating reciprocal. I can never say that. Reciprocal. Behind the scenes. Sorry, guys. What is it? Reciprocal.
Reciprocal, yeah.
Escalating reciprocal personal self-disclosure, aka vulnerability, honesty, being willing to let your walls fall down." And for Jer and I, we actually have a chapter in our book about this that talks about every wall must fall. And it's just this idea that in order to love someone, you have to let yourself be known. And you have to know the other person in order to love them too. And so super, super interesting article.
It really was interesting. And then all the related articles next to it, again, is super interesting. And what I think I liked the most about it is because whether you're single and dating, you know, and you want, this is also dangerous because there's science behind this. So like you wouldn't really want to do this with someone you don't, I don't know. It's something.
Vet them first.
It's something we say in the book, right? You can't necessarily choose who you fall in love with, but you can choose who you spend time with.
Yes.
And this article is kind of saying, well, you can choose who you fall in love with. This is a science-based process in which that could happen.
Sort of, you can choose.
Yeah, but I think this is fascinating because not only is it a way to expedite intimacy, like when you're dating or just get more close with someone, or like let's say you're a year in and you want to like move the ball a little bit, but also like when you're married and this goes back to kind of what we do in the marriage journal, why those questions are so powerful. But like asking questions. Yeah, well,
it
cuts through so many walls and layers, and it gives an excuse to go somewhere that might have taken months to get to without the question.
Right.
So like,
and here's one thing about it. Just going back to what you said before, babe, about you might not want to do this with just anyone on your first date.
Yeah,
I think that was a really good point that you made, Jared, because we talk about this in our book too. Just being careful with sharing your life story and your deepest, darkest secrets and all these things on date one as a protection of your heart. Because, and I say this mostly to women, you can speak to the men, Jer, but I think a lot of women, I've had friends who, you know, will share their struggles, their heart, and be vulnerable on a date. And then the guy breaks up with them. Then they do it again on the next date. Guy breaks up with them, do it again on the next date. The more you do that, it's wearing. It's wearing, you know what I mean? So
totally.
I'm just saying, like, be maybe not on date number one. You know what I mean?
Agree with that.
Diving in such a vulnerable way where you're sharing your deepest, darkest secrets. I still think that's why these questions are broken down into sets of three. So there's the first set, second set, third set, and they actually increase
in intimacy,
the questions become more probing as you go through them. So,
then the experiment used in the article too was like, you know, the classic tale of the frog and boiling. If you put a frog in water and then you heat the water, the frog won't realize it's boiling until they're dead. It's too late, is the concept. It's like, that's the point of these questions too, is like they'll start somewhere, but by the time you realize what's happening, you're in intimate territory.
That's a good point. And so just tread lightly. Yeah, just tread lightly. Just be careful.
For sure. But that's also why it's so powerful, specifically within marriage. It's like, next thing you know, you're having intimate conversations with your spouse that you might not have had for a while, and it just rekindles this love and this passion.
And on the flip side of what we were just talking about earlier, you know, some people rush into it too fast and they have these crazy deep conversations too early. But then on the other side of things,
some people
just play and laugh and don't have the hard
never
conversations.
Go there.
Next thing you know, they're 3 years into a dating relationship and they've never shared any of their struggles.
Yeah.
And that's a problem too. So I think these questions could really help people in that situation, especially, wouldn't you say?
Like
people who've been dating for a while that, you know, maybe just are kind of running into a wall of moving to the next level of getting to know each other.
Yeah.
So
actually, this all reminds me too of, like, you know, something we say in our book, A Love Letter Life, a lot, and that, or not a lot, but we say it in the book, and that is, if love is something we can fall into, it must be something we can fall out of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ultimately falling in love becomes choosing to love, right? And so, like, these questions just is a continual kind of choice to love, I guess, is really what it is. And, like, without choosing to go intimate and have these questions or do things like this, whether it's, you know, like even bringing your vows to the date night I mentioned earlier, right? And bringing that up with your spouse. Like, that is an intentional choice to love, right? That that continues the falling in love process that should be an eternal vow.
Right. And like,
sorry if that was a random thought.
No, but it's not. It's really good. And also just, it ties so well into to find and still seek. Now that is love, which is something we say all the time. I'm beating 50 everywhere, all the time. Yeah. Jer's quote, to find love and still seek it.
Now that's
love. That will prevent you from the falling out of love. Because if you can fall into love, you can fall out of love, right?
Yeah.
So to find and still seek love, that's love.
For sure. So have we beat the question?
I think, there was one other thing from this article that I thought was just super interesting. I wanted to read really quick. Yeah. You guys can read the article. Again, we'll link it in the show notes. So if something I'm breezing past really fast, you can go back. But they do this, basically, the writer of the article does the experiment. She goes through all 36 questions with this guy that she hardly knows. And at the end of the night, one of the other parts of the experiment is to stare into each other's eyes for 4 minutes. We mentioned this, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, briefly, but yeah.
We briefly mentioned this. But so they are in a public place. They're at a restaurant or a bar or something. And they were like, should we do it? Like, is that going to be weird in public to just do that? So they go outside. And so she quotes, this is a quote from the article.
I don't think it's that weird.
I've skied steep slopes and hung from a rock face by a short length of rope. But staring into someone's eyes for 4 silent minutes was one of the most thrilling and terrifying experiences of my life. I spent the first couple of minutes just trying to breathe properly. There was a lot of nervous smiling until eventually we settled in. I know the eyes are the windows to the soul or whatever, but the real crux of the moment was not just that I was really seeing someone, but that I was seeing someone really seeing me. Boom. Once I embraced the terror of that realization and gave it time to subside, I arrived somewhere unexpected. And that whole thing reminds me so much of the Timothy Keller quote, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved, is a lot like being loved by God. It's what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us.
Boom. Just to help everyone out, just push the back 30 seconds on the podcast app and re-listen to all that, because that is good.
It's just so good, because basically what she's saying, you know, and I don't know if she's a believer or where, you know, faith-wise, but just...
Well, there's a core truth here.
The core is that we desire so much to be known.
Yep.
But that can be a scary thing.
Super
but that's
scary.
How we can be fully loved. We cannot be fully loved if we're not fully known.
Yep.
And we can't fully love if we don't know someone, you know?
Yeah.
So
totally.
It's
the continuing spiral of really vulnerability.
Yes.
Vulnerability is the unraveling of the onion, right? And that's such a used thing, but it's a great example right here. Like, vulnerability really is the tool in which we pursue love.
Right.
And that's just, yeah, it's so good.
And
I love
curiosity kills the cat. So we will read a few of the questions in case you guys are like, what are these questions?
Yeah.
You're Googling it right now.
Yeah. Do you have these, babe? Is there somewhere these are?
I have them pulled up. So I'll just read some of the set one questions. So the first question is, given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest? Question number two in set one, would you like to be famous in what way? Question three, before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say? Why?
Jump back.
That's very interesting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Now jump to the intimate ones now.
Okay, now jump to the section two. So section two, if a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know? Is there something you've dreamed of doing for a long time? Why haven't you? What is the greatest accomplishment of your life? What do you value most in friendship?
Those might not be intimate on the surface level, but you cannot answer them without diving deep.
Oh, yeah. Like this one. What roles do love and affection play in your life? How would you answer that, babe?
Whoa.
You know, like that's, yeah. It takes some thinking. Like,
yeah, but once you're warmed up in the beginning, anyways, I think the question thing, people get it.
How do you feel about your relationship with your mother? Okay, set three. Wait, I'll read a few set threes because they're kind of... So set three, make three true... Oh, this one. This one was good. She talked about this in the article a lot. Make three true we statements each. For instance, we are both in this room feeling blank. We are both blank. How crazy is that? That's like a uniform... You know what I mean?
Totally.
Even us in marriage, we should do that on date night this week, babe. Let's make three.
Yeah, no, these questions would be good to, we haven't gone through them yet, guys, and this would be a fun thing.
And
you know, we're coming up on 5 years of marriage, it's half a decade. It's perfect time to.
I'll read just a couple more of the set threes because I think they're just fun. When did you last cry in front of another person? And when did you last cry by yourself? What, if anything, is too serious to be joked about? Like that could be such
interesting.
Tell your partner what you like about them. Be very honest. This time saying things that you might not say to someone you've just met. I think that's so interesting too, because just as humans, we don't go around telling people what we like about them.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Why don't we do that? It's so silly. We're like embarrassed. It's a pride thing.
Yeah. No.
She talks about this in the article too. I'm like, why don't we go around telling
people what we like about them? Yeah, we should definitely be doing that with people we know more.
Yeah, right.
You know, like your friends and even your parents and people you work with or coworkers. Like, wow. Not just the trust, but the friendships that will be built. Like if you decided to give a word of encouragement to one person every day, within a 6 month time, I guarantee you your social life and friend life will look dramatically different.
Oh, yeah.
Like dramatically different.
And one of the things I've always said this.
And you know what it takes? Looking up from your phone.
or using your phone to send a text to someone. Yeah,
that's true. Okay, you know, like, I was going to drop this mic, but
I didn't want you to bash the phone thing too hard.
No, it can be
such a resource for this, because encouragement. I wrote this somewhere in a devotional, I think, for Always More, but encouragement is free to give, but it could be of infinite worth to the person receiving it.
Yeah.
It's free to encourage someone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's free.
It rarely is something bottomless and of infinite value that costs nothing.
Right? Anyways, okay, so obviously we're hot on the 36 question things. You guys should go do it. Let us know in the comments on our Instagram what you guys think.
Yeah, or if you've done it. Like, we'd love to hear some testimonies, what it's done for you, what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it. Beating 50%.
Behind the scenes podcast.
We have too many Instagrams. Behind the scenes podcast, Instagram, and we'll be tracking that this week. So,
all right. Third thing we wanted to talk to you guys about today.
So beating 50% is coming up on 4 years.
Woo!
4 year anniversary. Nuts. It's nuts. Yeah.
We launched being 54 years ago.
I know. We launched on Valentine's Day, and B, we launched with an amazing idea that Audrey had, and I'll let her kind of go into this. But we launched with a 3-sentence love story campaign, and that's kind of been how we've celebrated beating 50% every Valentine's Day ever since. And it's picked up quite a bit of steam. Now a lot of other people on the internet do it, but I think we did it first.
Oh, we definitely did.
Yeah, we definitely
did. We
want
other people on the internet to do it.
Yeah, so 3-sentence love stories. It's basically the campaign we launched with, and it's really turned into something awesome. So yeah, every Valentine's Day, we encourage people to do it again. And it was Audrey's idea, so I'll let Audrey kind of go into it. But
so basically, we just thought it'd be fun. Jared and I love stories. and super passionate about them. We love hearing other people's love stories. We love asking people how they met, all that. So we thought it'd be a fun way to just flood the internet on Valentine's Day with love stories.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of crap on the internet, and how inspiring is it to just read love stories from like real people?
Real love stories, raw, you know, not Hollywooded out, not like Instagrammable, but like just someone's real love story.
Totally.
And that's just, what an encouragement. That's so awesome.
So basically the concept is to share your love story in three sentences.
Yeah.
So doesn't have to be this huge, long, elaborate thing, but we've found that it's been really fun for people, even our friends, to think of what theirs is.
Yeah.
And to think of how to write it in three sentences. And it almost
kind of— And to share it with the world.
Yeah. And it almost kind of gives you, you know, in a way, the past few podcasts we've talked a little bit about marriage mission statements and stuff like that. It almost kind of in a way gives you a little bit of like, what is our story really about? What are we really about? It helps you kind of go there in a way. Anyways, totally. That was just a tangent thought. But basically the concept is to write your three sentence love story, share it on Valentine's Day, use the hashtag three sentence love story.
And beating 50%.
And so this, I'll let Jeremy and I, or Jeremy will read his and I'll read mine. Yeah, we'll read some other examples.
We have ours pulled up here. So I'll read mine, Audrey will read hers. And then we were going to read just a couple others that we thought were good. So, all right. We met on a blind date. Or let me just...
You needed to clear your throat.
Yeah. Well, I got to clear my throat. And okay, this is my three-sentence love story.
Oh, gosh.
We met on a blind date before church, and I fell in love. She did not. We were friends for a year. I told my mom I was going to marry this girl, but it was another 2 years of pursuit. A couple hundred campfires and truck rides later, I asked her to be mine 10 days before moving to California. Our love endured, and September 20th, 2014, we started our forever.
My three-sentence love story. We were freshmen in college when our good friend set us up on a blind date before church. And from that day forward, he was patiently persistent, and I was stubborn and guarded. After a two-year friendship, he said, "Will you be mine?" up on the railroad tracks. And that's when we began 3 years of writing each other letters on our typewriters while we endured a long-distance relationship. Our long-distance relationship ended in an unbreakable covenant on September 20th, 2014. And since then, we have continued to grow in oneness, godliness, and more in love, always more.
Boom. So those are our three-sentence love stories.
So, and it's just been so encouraging to read other people's love stories the past few years. I just looked up the hashtag. There's close to 4,000 people who have shared their three-sentence love story.
Cool. Yeah.
And they're just really encouraging. So I was just going to, we're going to banter a little here.
Want me to read these? Yeah, I'll read.
Yeah, we'll just trade off every other.
I'll read a few of these.
Here's a couple. So, because this is the couple that introduced us. So this is their love story.
Our three-sentence love story. Junior year, you sat next to me in Spanish class and made me laugh all year long. 8 years later, we are married, living across the country, and expecting our first child in a few short weeks. You are my soulmate, best friend, and you still make me laugh like no one else can. Hashtag three-sentence love story. Hashtag happy Valentine's Day. Hashtag beating 50%.
You don't need to read that part.
I know. I'm just reading it because that's the only way people will see it is if you hashtag it. Otherwise, nobody will be able to see it unless your immediate following.
And that was from the friends that introduced us, and they've been married. They now have a 3-year-old daughter. So that was from 3 years ago. But the next one is from Kelsey Goodwin. My life was divinely intervened 620 days ago when a handsome stranger needed a ride from the airport. Cut to this moment, just after I said yes to forever, yes to a lifetime of vulnerability, patience, and kindness. You inspire me not only intentionally love on others, but to love on myself just as well. Together we radiate love, acceptance, shelter, and possibility. I'm impatient to marry you. So this is from someone who's engaged. Like, you don't have to be married to do the three-sentence love story. You can be dating, engaged, or married.
So this is from Lauren, my three-sentence love story. God took a major tragedy in my life and turned it into an opportunity to meet my husband. After my accident, I was concerned that a man would never love me, but in reality, I've never experienced a love like Jason's. Pain is purposeful. God specifically ordained your steps, and I will always find comfort in that.
That's Lauren Kennedy, Lauren and Jason Kennedy, if you guys know them. The next one is from Ellie Nagy, I think is how you say it. We met in high school and I hit it off after Aaron accepted Jesus during a message my dad preached. Just 6 months after our relationship started, he was diagnosed with stage 3 lymphoma and everything we dreamed for our future came to a sudden halt. The past 4 years have taught us God's provision as we have experienced so much of his goodness through remission, celebrating our almost 3-year wedding anniversary, and having our miracle child, Eden.
Yeah.
Like, these are just, they give me so much hope. I love
it. We could keep reading. There's.
I think we should just read a couple more. This one's funny. Johnny and I fell in love the day I got injured and benched from PLU college softball game. I sat in the score box and he asked if I wanted to hear a joke. I clearly did not, but he told me one anyway. How do you clean a tuba? No response. With a tuba toothpaste. I knew I was in for a lifetime of cheesy jokes. Funny. Mel Volin.
All right, babe. So here, maybe this is the last one, but we met at a dinner party nearly 24 years ago, and I knew that very night that he was the one I would marry. He was a bit slower in coming to the same conclusion. Took him 3 more days that I was the woman for him. So it was 5 days from that first date that we confessed our love for each other and our desire for marriage, and now our love story simply continues. Love that.
This one, wait, can I just read my mom's because I think it's cool?
Okay, yes.
I could never promise you, this is my parents. My dad wrote one too, but my dad's is more funny and my mom's is cool. I could never promise you on just my strength alone that all my life I'd care for you and love you as my own. That's from their vows, actually. But with God's strength, not our own, we are beating 50%. It's hard to know what your vows are saying on your wedding day, but 30 years to the day Dan proposed, I think I understand more how to do them than I did then.
Wow, it's so good.
And they got engaged on Valentine's Day, so that's why she says 30 awesome. Years to the day. Well, anyways, super cool.
Here's Tori's. I should probably read Tori's.
They're fun, right?
Yeah, we met at a pumpkin patch. Right, Roll Off Farms. We became best friends from the start because of his ability to make me feel like I could be myself no matter what. He is my forever Valentine today, tomorrow, always. I love you, Zach.
So good. Awesome. Anyways, you guys can do this. It's so easy. It's so
really
fun.
This is just we want to encourage you guys, everyone, if you're listening to this, and we know thousands of you are, post your hashtag 3-sentence love story on Valentine's Day this year. We want to flood the internet with love stories
and hope for love for the people that,
and it's encouraging,
are single, you know, that are looking for love, to see all these love stories.
Yeah, because you're going to read a million different, thousands of different beginnings, you know, and it's just
so fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. So.
And just as a fun thing for you guys, we are going to be giving away 5 advanced reader copies of our book, A Love Letter Life, to 5 people who post their 3-sentence love story on Valentine's Day. So if you want to be entered to get our book before anybody else, I think it's like 2 months before anybody else, we're giving away 5 advanced reader copies. We asked our publisher if it'd be okay if we could do this for Valentine's Day because he thought it'd be a fun thing. So you got the okay on it. And
but it's got, when you post, you got to have hashtag 3-sentence love story, hashtag a love letter life, and hashtag beating 50%.
We'll put all the criteria in the post on beating 50 and behind the scenes podcast so you guys can follow and figure it out. But
those are the searchable terms. And then when we plug those into the search engine, only posts with those 3 will show up. So yeah, thought that'd be fun.
Super fun.
Cool. Well, this was a good one. All right, babe.
Okay.
I thought so. I mean, that was a lot of good ground. I think the question thing will be fun.
I'm excited to see what we're doing on Valentine's Day in a couple days.
Yeah, right.
We'll come back and tell our listeners, right?
For sure. We'll let you guys know
kidding.
What we do.
I'm kidding.
All right. Is it roses and thorns, thorns and roses time?
It is. It's time. How fitting for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
I love it.
All right, babe. What is your thorn this week?
I would say probably just all the decisions that we've had to make. I feel like this has been a week of making decisions.
Yeah.
And it's just been a lot of pressure and deadlines. And to
clarify, you guys, that a lot of that's just with like the book. The book, that's like the big
thing. We're just trying to plan out book tour and all that stuff.
I mean, there's so much behind the scenes. Yeah.
Seriously.
That goes on. And what's cool is, we're going to be launching a launch team here for the book pretty soon. And if you're on the launch team, you know, you get to see all of the behind the scenes and the process that goes into it. But
anyways, it's just been a lot of decisions. Yeah. And I think that's just been kind of a heavy,
for
heavy
sure.
thing. But
I mean, I would probably go off that.
What's your thorn?
Yeah. I'd go off that and say Yeah, just the decisions have kind of got my brain in a cluster. And I think that's why I've also stayed up late working, like, mm-hmm. too, like, really late. And that's a bummer because I told, like, that goes against what we said we were going to do this year. And it's also messed up my morning routine, which I've been having trouble getting back on from after being sick a couple weeks ago. So that's just got some angst a little bit. But what? Why are you laughing?
Nothing. Just
because the last
just got trouble. You were sick 3 weeks ago, and you're still having trouble getting back on your morning routine.
Yeah. Okay. I know. Babe, okay. what is your rose for this week?
My rose is The Office.
What? Just, stealing mine again?
Okay, well, sorry. Or I didn't know stealing, that was going to be yours.
Am I stealing yours technically? Because I'm going after.
Yeah, mine is The Office because it's just so nice. The past 2 weeks, I feel like we've had a good rhythm of work schedule, even though we've been working late. But just 3 full days in the office, it's clean white walls, hardwood floors. I mean, still needs a lot of work, obviously, but it just feels
it's
so much
together,
better in there.
For sure.
Like, it feels so much better workspace. Anyways, what's your rose, babe?
Yeah, mine would be the office and probably just the routine that we've been slowly getting finalized with the nanny and just the 3 work days we have and just Dan being here helping. It's just, I feel like we're starting to hit a rhythm that's really comfortable, and I'm really excited for this year. And so that's just been really good. All right. So there we have it, babe. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah. We love you guys. We're grateful for you.
Yeah. Couple more things that we want to end with. The A Love Letter Life book landing page has officially launched. So you can go there to pre-order the book. And to anyone that pre-orders the book, there's a ton of free stuff that we're giving away. Babe, you want to
goodies, lots of goodies.
You want to tell them what some of them are?
So yes, and this is, it's super fitting right in time for Valentine's Day. So if you go to aloveletterlife.com, you'll see all of our, we call them freemiums. It's kind of the insider term.
Yeah.
But basically free things that you get when you pre-order the book. And you will get these even if you've already pre-ordered the book. So if you've already pre-ordered the book up until this point, you're also going to get these.
There's a form on the site that you can fill out.
To redeem them.
You have to enter your order number, and then you will get the freebies. Yes.
The freebies.
So, babe, what are the freebies? If you pre-order A Love Letter Life, what
do
you get?
So the most exciting freebie is that Jeremy has created presets that he's going to give away for free to anyone who pre-orders the book. If you guys don't know what a preset is, don't worry. He's going to teach you exactly what that is.
Yep. They're exclusive A Love Letter Life presets for Lightroom to make all your photos look beautiful and amazing. And
so if you want dreamy Love Letter Life photos and use the filters that I use on my photos, then you can go and get them for free.
Comes with a free tutorial and everything.
Jer shows you how to use Lightroom.
You get the free preset pack. What else do you get?
You get 52 date night ideas, which are super fun.
Date night ideas.
Maybe you can use one for Valentine's Day this week.
We came up with 52 awesome, creative, low budget date night ideas.
You'll get access to our Love Letter Life Spotify playlist, which is basically a ton of our favorite love songs. I think there's close to 200 on there. So you can play that on your Valentine's Day date night this week
too.
And you get 50% off the marriage journal.
50% off the marriage journal.
So you'll get a code for 50% off the marriage journal. And is that it? I think there's another thing in there too, but
for right now,
I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it for right now. But
so lots of fun free stuff to get if you want to
pre-order
the book and print the receipt and give it to your spouse as a late Valentine's Day gift.
Yeah.
That will come later, then you guys can do that.
So there we have it. As always, you guys, thank you for listening. This is always fun. We really enjoy this podcast, and the feedback's super encouraging and helpful. So a good way to get into contact with us is just on the Instagram.
And we love to continue the conversation there, things that we've talked about here. If there's things that you guys think are interesting or perspective that you want to share, please do. We love engaging with you guys over there too.
Yeah, and I should note all the links and everything we're talking about should be in the iTunes description, but there is a blog we're working on where all of this will be, and that'll be coming out pretty soon later this year. So thanks again. We
will
see you guys next week.